Jim Black.
Yeah. From More Perfect Union.
Why are you here with a camera crew?
Let me explain how I ended up outside this car dealership in Rochester, New York.
Hey, change of plan. They called the police, so I'm going to keep driving.
Okay.
A couple months ago, I started investigating why it's become so hard to afford a car. Auto loans are the fastest growing type of consumer debt, and the number of Americans behind on car payments is breaking records. The story in the media is that these costs are driven by broad economic factors. While there's some truth to that, I also found something else. An entire industry ripping people off with shady loans and making billions.
It can be extraordinarily profitable to set borrowers up to fail.
They have a great business model. I mean, every penny is drained from your pockets.
They was calling my grandmother from 10 different numbers, calling me from 10 different numbers.
With millions of Americans one missed payment away from a repossession, I wanted to know, how did it become such good business to write bad loans? And what can we do to stop the companies behind this?
I honestly felt pressured to buy it because my family needed a car. We didn't have a way to get around.
Taniqua Cross works as a teacher's aide at a school for disabled kids. A couple of years ago, she needed to buy a car.
Santa Motors, right there on East Ridge. When you first go there, it's okay. They greet you, they treat you like family.
She picked out a 2014 Dodge Durango, and the dealer presented her with a sales contract. It said she'd pay about $2,000 down, and then for the next 5.5 years, her car payment would be about $670 a month.
I get paid weekly, so that's two of my checks gone. It worked at first, but then I was like, this is too much.
To afford the monthly payment, she started making DoorDash deliveries. But soon the car had problems. First, the steering column broke, then the transmission. Then, one day...
I was out doing DoorDash. Went to come to a stop at the light, and the brakes popped. And cars went straight through the light and hit another car.
The brakes failed. The car was totaled. In the aftermath, she discovered something shocking.
I Kelly Blue Booked it. And it told me that the Durango that I had at the time, at the price value, was $6,000 to $13,000.
The dealer had put her in a $24,000 loan. Including interest, the total sale price was $46,000.
It pisses me off. Why am I paying triple of for a car loan? There's no way a loan should be that big for a car that's not worth that much.
The dealer had put Taniqua into a loan that was deeply underwater, where the amount she owed was immediately far higher than the car's market value. I wanted to know, how could this happen? I called Ben Pokora-Sinevsky, a loan officer at a local credit union.
I just wanted to run this by you. She bought a 2014 Dodge Durango. The total cost of the car, including interest over the lifetime of the loan, was $46,000. When she looked later at what the Blue Book cost of this car, it was between $6,000 and $13,000.
That is a common story that we've heard the last few years, and I'm not surprised that the vehicle didn't last.
She went to a place called Santa Motors.
We've had a couple people shop there, and it doesn't usually end well. You know, we try and steer people away from that place, actually.
Hi there. I'm a reporter from More Perfect Union. I'm working on a story about car sales and auto loans, and I've been talking to a woman who has sold a car that was actually from your dealership. Do you have a second to talk about it? I have a picture of the paperwork. Can I show this to you? Cause...
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Is she looking at what she would pay after all of the interest rate based on her credit?
Total price of everything was $46,000 for a 2014 Dodge Durango.
Yeah, I'm not interested, but thank you very much. Please just leave my premises. Thank you. You obviously have a one-sided story.
Taniqua's dealer wouldn't talk to me, but when I looked at her sales contract, there was another name at the top, Credit Acceptance Corporation. That's the company she still owes money to that provided her loan. Credit Acceptance is one of the nation's largest auto lenders, and it does business with over 12,000 used car dealers.
They're in every dealership, and they offer loans to anyone who doesn't fit a scoring range that others would accept.
Denise Ackman is a financial counselor who helps people with auto debt, including Taniqua.
Credit Acceptance is probably one of the most common finance companies that I've seen through my years, and it's on every credit report when someone comes to me. Sometimes people have multiple credit acceptance loans. I've seen credit reports where there's three unpaid auto loans from Credit Acceptance on their credit report.
Credit Acceptance was founded in the 1970s by a used car salesman who realized he could make much more money selling loans to working people who traditional lenders never touched.
I can't sell every car in town, but I can get a piece of every deal in town.
Through the financing. Excellent.
By 2018, he'd become a billionaire, lending to customers with a median income of just $35,000 a year.
You still have time to get financing on a darn fast quality used car. He can't say no. Don, can I get financing with bad credit?
Yes.
No credit?
Yes.
Bankruptcy?
Yes.
To make that work, the company employs almost twice as many people in collections and servicing as it does in writing loans.
Well, we still need the payment, and then they went back to the harassment calls. They was calling my grandmother from 10 different numbers, calling me from 10 different numbers.
After Taniqua lost her car, Credit Acceptance started calling her and her grandmother, who'd been required to co-sign the loan.
My grandma just got to the point where she answered it. Oh, y'all owe $28,000 on the car, but we willing to drop it down to $5,000. And now here it is, she paying $100 a month. Still to this day. Every, I think, fifth of the month, they take $100 out of her account for it.
It might seem counterintuitive for companies to sell loans on overpriced cars they know borrowers can't afford. But there's a deeper strategy here.
People get put into a high interest loan with a car that doesn't work. And this is a model that I've seen over and over and over again. People were coming in droves saying that they were taken advantage of.
Over the last decade, Denise was part of a network of consumer advocates that began to identify how the business model works.
When they put you in this product and car, they know already that the payment is not affordable from the beginning. And they're expecting to repo the car within 2 months. But think about the business model. They sue this person for the full balance of the loan. And then they can sell the car again or do this over and over.
They're gonna recoup a lot of money, and then they're going to repossess the vehicle, and then auction it off or turn around and sell it again, and then make another loan on that same vehicle, and then same thing's going to happen.
This is Ben, the loan officer I called earlier.
So it's a carousel for that one vehicle can serve multiple loans, and the amount of interest they get is just, it's unbelievable.
I had a client, and when we went out and looked in her glove box, there were already 7 other retail installment sales contracts for that same car that had been sold within the past 12 months to different people and then repossessed.
John Van Alst is an attorney who pushes for policy reform in auto sales. He helped me understand why cars like Taniqua's are so often overpriced when a lender like Credit Acceptance is involved.
Let's take an example where a dealer has a car that's maybe worth $8,000, but they would sell it to a consumer for $10,000 if a consumer came up with cash.
But if the consumer can't pay cash and needs a loan, the dealer gets paid by the auto lender. The lender makes the sale possible for the dealer, and that's especially valuable if the consumer has poor credit.
These loans wouldn't be done unless Credit Acceptance would do them. So if a dealer could get a sale versus no sale, that's the biggest thing.
Subprime lenders like Credit Acceptance capitalize on this by paying dealers as little as they can.
It's not going to be sold for $10,000. It's going to get sold for $8,000, maybe $7,000. The finance entity is going to set the terms of the transaction.
That means the dealer is often underwater from the start. So what do they do?
They're going to have to inflate the price of the car to make a profit at the end of the day. So in essence, you're hiding the cost of finance in the cost of the vehicle itself.
Credit Acceptance's business model has tangible effects on how dealers price cars. An investigation by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, found that dealers mark up the median credit acceptance car about 40% more than they do the median used car.
They sit there, joke with you, crack jokes with you, whole time they doing the dirty work behind your back. You don't even know what's going on. Why you got one person standing here smiling in your face and the other one back there typing up the whole thing?
The arrangement works well for Credit Acceptance. Lending to someone with iffy credit would normally be a risky bet. Credit Acceptance shifts much of that risk ultimately onto the buyer, who, having overpaid, is that much more on the hook.
They're setting themselves up for success, even though they might be setting the consumer up for failure.
In fact, the consumer's ability to pay isn't even how Credit Acceptance decides whether to give a loan.
CAC's business model was actually indifferent to whether borrowers paid their loan back or not.
Tara Michelinini worked at the CFPB's enforcement office.
They profited when the borrower defaulted, just the same as when the borrower paid off their car.
After reviewing the company's internal documents, the CFPB found that Credit Acceptance uses an algorithm to project how much money it will make from the customers over the lifetime of their loan, including from collection efforts, repossessions, and penalties. The company predicted nearly 40% of the loans it made would fail in traditional terms, but still made those loans.
They're calculating a score for the consumer, and it's based on the likelihood that the payments the consumer makes, the value of the car if it gets repossessed, the late fees they charge, the repossession charges they charge, the collection efforts after the consumer has their car repossessed, that all of those are going to equal or exceed this amount that they're paying the dealer.
In 2023, the CFPB and the New York Attorney General sued Credit Acceptance, alleging that its practices saddled borrowers with hidden interest charges, and that nearly all of their loans' real interest rates exceeded New York's usury cap of 25%. In response, Credit Acceptance argued that criminalizing its practices would actually harm borrowers with lower credit scores by taking away their access to auto financing.
It's just false. We've had members go to a dealership, they get 22% interest rate on an auto loan, and we'll refinance them and it'll be 8%, 7%, somewhere in that range. We are able to do that. We're a very small financial institution.
But why are they not able to do it?
Profit. They want to make more money. That's the bottom line. It's like, how do we make the most amount of money for our investors?
Credit Acceptance declined to answer my questions for this report. In early 2025, the Trump administration issued a stop work order to the CFPB, effectively gutting oversight of the auto loan market. Then it withdrew the bureau from the lawsuit against Credit Acceptance Corporation. New York's attorney general is still pursuing the case, but if she wins, the remedies will be limited to one state. And Credit Acceptance is now one of many companies operating with this predatory model.
I definitely feel like I was tricked.
In Rochester, I met Grace Ridley, who was put in an underwater loan with another big subprime lender, Westlake Financial. For the last 7 months, she's been making her payments while the car sits here, unusable, with a rusted and broken frame.
I had to stop driving the car because I got a paper that said this car is not safe to drive. And I'm like, wow. So I had to come up with a whole plan and new routine. Now that I don't have a car, the commute is like a, sometimes it feels like a 3-day journey. It's gonna take a few years to pay off the remaining debt.
It's a very big failing of our system in general, is that you have something that you absolutely need to survive is not realistically available to a large segment of the population.
Last year, auto debt in the U.S. hit $1.6 trillion, the largest category of consumer debt after mortgage. New car payments now average $750 a month, and subprime lending is growing. Credit Acceptance's loan portfolio hit a record high last year.
How do people sell something for way more than it's worth? Like, to me, that's fraud. From my side, I'm in banking. We're not allowed to do these things. Our bank examiner could close us down because we're doing things that we're not supposed to do. We're not allowed to finance someone for more they can afford.
In 2023, the Federal Trade Commission finalized a rule that would have prohibited misrepresenting the true cost of vehicles in auto sales.
Industry sued to stop this rule and took that lawsuit to one of the most conservative courts in the country, which stopped the rule.
I would say pass a law, because there's no way you should be able to triple a loan for a price of a car that's lower than that. You should be able to give the loan at that price of the car. If that's the car value, that's the price I should be paying. For myself, I would like my money back. That'd be the first thing, all funds back. Second, I don't want to see another family go through dealing with them again. I honestly feel like they need to be shut down, to be honest.
Thanks so much for watching our video. If you'd like to see more stories like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our channel to get more Perfect Union in your feed. And if you have ideas for other stories we should investigate, just drop them in the comments below.